Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 4 and continuing walking through our Christian characteristics. And tonight we're looking at guarding the control center. That is the heart of the individual is our control center, and it controls really everything about us. We know that. We're going to look at that a little bit this evening. But notice Proverbs 4, and a good characteristic of a child of God is that we have control and that we are guarding our heart. Okay, notice if you will, verse 20, we'll pick it up there. But he says, "My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." And verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So the clarification there in verse 23 is keeping our heart with all diligence. Now, as you look in your notes there, we see it. He says, "For out of it are the issues of life." Now, the issues of life are the issues of life. Man, just issues. And you ever met somebody, man, I got issues. They've got issues. It's what? Dealing with life in general. But continuing in that first paragraph, notice the heart is very important. Over 870 times, roughly, the Bible speaks of the heart. The great majority of those references is not referring to the physical organ we call the heart, but rather the center of our being, where our life is actually controlled. I found some of these statistics, and they're not very happy statistics. They're kind of morbid, but 375,000 people in America die annually of a heart attack. That's not very fun to think about. 800,000 Americans have a heart attack on an annual basis. 800,000, can you believe that? 600 of those are first-time heart attacks. 200,000 of those, are repeat heart attacks. And you know this, that heart disease is the number one cause of death in the world. So I don't know if that helped you at all, but I've read that and I thought, okay. Well, the heart is very important. We know that the heart shuts down, the lights go out, right? I mean, we're done for. Now, that's the physical organ, you know that. But the heart the Bible speaks of, notice that second paragraph there, the heart is a center of both physical and spiritual life. In this command, we are not concerned with the organ we know that pumps our blood, but rather the inner man, the mind, as defined, the understanding, the seat of appetites, the seat of emotions and passions, the seat of courage. The people get to go to great lengths to keep their hearts in good working condition. We know that. It seems that far more time is spent on keeping the physical pumping and running rather than in seeing that our spiritual heart is right. The bottom line is this, that you and I, we can keep the pump running only so long, then it's going to stop and we will die, we'll pass off this earth. If you've not prepared to meet God, you're in serious trouble. If you as a Christian have not given your heart to God, you've wasted your life. Now the command is very simple. Notice what he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So first of all, the heart is the control center of life. Life plans are devised in our hearts. Notice Proverbs 16 and verse 9. He says, "A man's heart deviseth his way." Well, he figures out what to do and plans it out and everything else. Here's what I'm going to do. "But the Lord directeth his steps." Now, remember what Jesus said in the New Testament. Remember he gives that one parable of the guy that says, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down. Since I have all this bounty and plenty and all my fruits and my crops have come in so well this year, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go tear down that barn and build a bigger barn. And I'm going to tell myself, self, sit back, ease, and drink, and be merry, for boy, you got it good, brother." And what's Jesus say? "Thou fool, you're going to die tonight in your sleep. And who are you going to leave all that to? What's that going to matter in eternity?" He says, none of that matters. Now, again, we know that. We can devise our way. We can plan it. But the Lord, truly, he's in control. Now, what I devise in my heart determines what I will try to be. What I love determines what I am and where I go. So letter A, We know that salvation is settled in your heart. Notice that. Romans 10 and 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made. I was talking to a young child one day. I used to teach the junior church class, and I was talking and preaching, and I had one child ask me that. I'd read something similar to that. And they said, what do you mean by that, Brother Tim? The heart that's beating in my chest, what does that mean? And I slowly tried to explain to him, as it's so difficult, but you try to explain it to them what he's talking about. I said, no, he's not talking about that inside of your chest. He's talking about the heart. That's a different, the spiritual side of it, the spiritual aspect of it. And that we believe there, it's the core, it's the control center, you know that. So it's settled in our heart first. Letter B then, trusting God, the Bible says, is with our heart. Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says what? Trust in the Lord with all thy mind. Does it say that? Nope. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. See, people try to trust in the Lord with their mind. The problem is they try to figure things out, right? Well, if I can understand it, then I'll believe. Well, brother, you're going to keep trying all your life until you die. And you heard people say this before. But when I get to the pearly gates, then I'll decide. Then I'll know. It's too late. See, we've got to have some faith here. And he says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. There it is. When you don't trust the Lord with a control center right here, the heart, what do? We naturally lean unto our own understanding. We don't jump over there. We don't hop. It's just a slow lean because we've got to have something to lean. We need something to fall back on. We need a crutch in this life. Now, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he'll direct thy paths. Letter C, then, loving God is with our heart. You understand salvation is settled in the heart. Trusting God is with your heart, but also loving God. Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy, what's the first one? Heart, soul, and mind. And it's in order for a reason. It's heart, soul, mind. We can't start with mind, soul, heart. It doesn't happen that way. So understanding, I'm just trying to point out where our heart is scripturally. Letter D then, giving to God is purposed in our heart. For he says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Two things when you give, you know that. Grudgingly is, all right, I'll do it. You know, I need God to bless my finances right now, so I'll do it. I really need it. I know I should do that. And then of necessity is what? Oh, well, I need to give. We're trying to like initiate God to do something in our lives. He doesn't work that way, right? We know that. We can't get him to do something, if you will. For God loveth a cheerful giver. He wants a cheerful giver, someone that starts, again, at the heart. We got a purpose in our heart. Letter E then, obedience is from the heart. Now, Romans 6 and 17, the entire chapter of Romans is incredible to read. But he says in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, right? You were once servants of sin, but doctrine came. Now, that's why doctrine is so important, by the way. Doctrine is your set of beliefs, what you believe. You go to a church and they say, well, we're not really doctrinal. You might want to turn around and go somewhere else. Okay. We don't emphasize doctrine here at our church. I tell you, I've heard churches, they post this stuff on their websites. We're not about doctrine. You know, you might want to run away from that because doctrine is incredibly important. But he says, listen, you've received that form of doctrine which was delivered you that brought you out of that sinful behavior. You were a servant to sin. You were a slave to sin, right? Now you have the doctrine. You understand the truth. He says also in Ephesians 6 and verse 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. That heart is not split as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So we're doing the will of God from the heart. Now, you know that. Obedience is from the heart. So the heart is the control center of life. We see it. It's vitally important. Now, the question is, where's your heart? Is your heart right with God? Is your heart where it's supposed to be? Well, we've got to understand. Number two, though, Not only that, but we see the control center must be diligently guarded, okay? Now, the simple solution is this. We must give our hearts to God. Proverbs 23:26. He says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, that's a very interesting verse. Now, remember, Solomon, we believe Solomon wrote the vast majority of Proverbs, and he's writing now. He says, my son, give me thine heart. And then he says what? Let thine eyes observe my ways. So if you give me your heart, son, I'm going to do my dead level best to what? Exemplify what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to do my best to show you the way. And now that's easy to say, but as parents, I fail at that all the time. I know we do. But he says what? Give me that heart. So it must diligently be guarded and watched over. Now, how do we do this? Well, letter A, we must determine who or what has our hearts. Notice again, Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. It's steady. It's settled. That word fixed literally means welded. It's welded. I mean, you ain't going to move that thing. That's what it is. It's fixed. It's cemented in. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Turn it over. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. What is the most important thing to you? Is a question. Where is your mind running right now? Mine is on food. Is yours? I don't know. Do you eat dinner before? You're the smart ones. Okay. Thinking about things. Where's your mind? That is where your heart is. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That which gets you stirred up emotionally, captivates you, fills your dreams, takes your time, that has your heart. Boy, I'm so irritated with myself, with the things that get me stirred up, right? Do you feel that way? Man, I get excited about money. I get excited. And I think it's because I don't have any, but I get excited about things. I get excited about trucks and cars and, man, motorcycles and boats and whatever. Man, put any of that in front of me. I get excited, man. Oh, man. What has our hearts today? What fills it? Now, where is Jesus Christ in your life? Is your heart fixed, like the psalmist says, where it should be? Okay, letter B then. We must apply our hearts to understanding. We must apply. Proverbs 2, verse 1, he says again, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as for hid treasures, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You ever tried to look for something? You remember the story a while back where that one guy hid that treasure, and there's like all these people came and tried to find the treasure. I can't remember where it was. I think it was here, wasn't it? Local, somewhere. But he hid some kind of treasure somewhere, and they came around looking for it, and all kinds of people were searching for it. There was many discoveries, but if you've been following the news recently, just recently they discovered a very interesting little artifact over just north, I think it was, of the Alps, the mountains, right? The Alps. They found it, and it's a little like a rectangular thing, and it's like tin, if you will, like silver tin rolled up. And so they dug it up out of somebody, one of the graves there or something, and they dug it up and found it. Well, they've labeled it or aged it to be around, 200 AD. So, I mean, super old. Well, they unrolled this thing and it fell apart because it was so old, you know. And on it, guess what it was? It was scripture. And it said this to the effect of what? Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is Lord above all. Now, they had never found anything like that in that area before. And they're amazed right now because of where the location of it. They didn't believe that anything Christian or Christianized during that period of time was that far north. It was all south down near Rome, right? You know, all of that. So when they found it, said, boy, we can't believe it. Well, we as Bible believers, we've known that forever, right? Well, the Bible says Paul went up into that area. He sent people up into there. Titus and Timothy and others, Thomas, they all spread out. But they were amazed that they found these things like that. And I thought about that as I was reading it. Man, search for wisdom. If you search for the truth, he says, as you're searching for a hid treasure, and the gold and silver so many people of this world seek after. Well, he continues there in Proverbs 4. We already read that. Notice Proverbs 10 and verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. You'll receive commandments. You'll say, okay, I do need that. I'm not too good for those things. So we must apply our hearts to understanding. We know that if we're going to guard our heart and guard our control center. Now, diligently guarding the control center involves victory over sin. Well, he says this again in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. And then he says, notice, put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. He says, plan out your day. Okay. If you don't, if you just kind of walk through life, well, we'll see what happens today. This is why thumbing through your phone, man, that's dangerous, isn't it? Well, we'll just see what happens here. You know, oops, shouldn't have, well, you know that was going to happen, right? I knew that was going to happen, did it anyways. I know that's going to pop up. I know that's going to go there. You think about it now. Focused on this, he says, if we're going to guard our hearts, we've got to apply understanding. We've got to have victory over sin. In order to have a sustained victory over sin, what does it do? It helps to understand our true condition after we're saved. Are we battling a sin nature on the inside, or have we been delivered from the sin nature and battle sin only from the outside? Now, some teach that we have two natures after salvation. The victory is won when we put off the old, put on the new. According to Romans 7, some take some of that out of there. What does God actually say about this concerning us? Now remember, a very important rule of interpretation of the Bible called hermeneutics. One of the main rules is I must make my beliefs fit what God actually says instead of what trying to make God say what I've decided to believe. Well, God has used that term. Now notice he doesn't use the term sin nature. Now we must understand that we are not instructed to put off the old man. Now the old man is crucified. We understand that. We, Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So then the old man was put off at salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 8 continues, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We were by nature the children of wrath, but now are the partakers of the divine nature. Now then, understanding, we see that these temptations come from the outside. Now we do have stuff inside that we deal with, but primarily the temptations will come from the outside. If you are living for the Lord and walking with Him, you know that. Those things are going to come as you're trying and keeping your mind straight and focused on the Lord. A lot of things will come from the outside. For James, again, says this in James 1. He says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away, there it is, of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So we know the three areas of lust to guide our hearts against. What's the love of the world, right? We know that. 1 John 2:15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, notice the love of the Father's not in him, for all that's in the world. Here they are, the three, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So again, just emphasizing here, we have to apply understanding, knowing who we are, knowing where those temptations come from, if we're going to guard our hearts. And then letter B under that, there's a simple way to victory. Romans 13, 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that's where it is. We can't make provision. And again, that word there, provision, literally means to set a place setting at your dinner table for somebody. That's provision. You put a plate out and a cup and the silverware and everything, getting everything ready. Well, you don't want Satan to sit down at the table, right? Oh, no, but just in case, we're going to leave a placemat there for him. You know, we don't leave make any provision. We don't want the flesh there. We don't want Satan there. We don't want any of those things. So the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So again, we must give our hearts fully to Jesus Christ and allow him to direct each of us in each situation. And then I cut off the last sentence there, sorry. And so anyways, You know where we are tonight. Christian characteristics. Now, are you guarding the control center of your life? Keeping your heart with all diligence. Now, what it is, again, this is it. Your eye gates and your ear gates, especially. What we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're thinking on, meditating on. Are we filling those things? Are we allowing those things in that edify us, that build us up, that encourage us, that get us closer to the Lord, or things that what? They're contaminating that control center. If you get on a plane tonight and you fly to Chicago or Florida or whatever, when that plane is ready for takeoff, that cockpit door locks. Nobody's allowed in with the pilots. Okay. Now, you may walk to, as you're boarding the plane, the door's open and all the kids like to look in. You know, sometimes even the pilots will go, come on in, you can let the kids come look in here and this and that. When they get ready to go, what happened? That it's locked. Nobody's allowed in there. One of the lead hostess or whatever you call it, they have the opportunity, they can knock on the door if some issue arises on the plane or whatever. It's locked. Why? That's a control center. You don't let just any bozo get up in there while you're taking off and mess with all the buttons and play with everything. No, they're very careful about that. They lock it. They make sure everything's in place and carefully orchestrate it for what? You've got 200 people in that plane you're responsible for. You and I must be very careful about this, and you know this. I know I say this each week. I'm preaching to the choir, but are we guarding our control center? Are we diligent about our heart, where it is, what we're passionate about? What are you longing for tonight? What are you looking for next? What is it for you? Is it all about the Lord? And it should be. I know you do that. Praise God for you. And I hope that we continue to look at this. Next Wednesday, you know, we won't have service because that is Christmas. So we won't have a service next week. But again, I want to encourage you, take these notes home with you. Study these verses on your own. Take a little bit more time in your study than we have here on Wednesday night together. And then again, encourage others with it if you can and let them know about it. Okay, thank you for being here tonight. Again, remember these in our prayer page, on our prayer page, and keep those on your prayers. Let us know if you have any updates with that as well. All right? Lord willing, we'll see you all Sunday, hopefully. Lord, we thank you for this evening. And again, for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you for your grace. Again, we thank you, Lord. It's a lot sometimes of information rather quickly, but Lord, we know we can apply it. Help us especially, God, to take it, myself, Lord, to use it, apply it. Lord, how determined this world and our adversary is to get a hold of our hearts. If he gets our hearts, Lord, he can have all the rest of it. He'll pull us away from the things that we know we're supposed to be doing, from church, from the Bible, from prayer, from our families, and so on. Help us, Lord, to do our part. Strengthen us. We know we have the strength in you, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.